Well, have you ever felt like your past is too messy for God to use you? Think again. Today's guest went from addiction and destruction to purpose and restoration. His journey didn't just change his life, but it's impacting thousands of people around the world. From the streets to the pulpit, or as he would write, from junkie to Jerusalem. Today, Pastor Larry Huck is here to share his incredible raw and redemptive story of radical transformation. How did God take a man caught in addiction and turn him into a voice of faith and restoration? Trust me, you're not going to miss any of it. Well, Pastor Roy, welcome to the James Epperly Show. I am so excited to have you with us today.
James, it's an honor to be with you. Just in the few minutes we got to talk, I can already tell we're of like mind, like heart, like spirit. So, man, I'm excited to be with you and your people.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I agree with that and affirm that. We're so excited to have you. Now, you have an incredible story. You went from battling addiction to becoming a global voice of faith, restoration, and of course, biblical revelation. You're the founder and pastor of New Beginnings Church. You're an international speaker and, of course, our leading voice on reconnecting the church to its Jewish roots. And now, besides all of that, you have just authored a brand new book called Junkie to Jerusalem. I absolutely love that title, sir. It's so good.
You know, James, the way this came about is, you know, I've shared parts of my testimony, from prisons all over the world to Capitol to White House to prime ministers and things. But it's an interesting that in about a 10-day period, I had three people that I didn't know, I don't know, call me somehow and say, we heard your story, we heard your testimony. Would you ever be interested in doing a movie on it?
Wow.
I never even thought about it. But I had been thinking and talking with Tiz, my wife, about, you know, maybe I ought to do my story and write my story to give people hope. And so, you know, in ancient Hebrew, there's no word for coincidence. And so here I'm thinking about it. Tiz is kind of encouraging me. You ought to write it down. And then I get people calling and asking, you know, have you ever thought about this? And so, you know, I wrote it, James, for a couple of reasons. One is to tell people, you know, King David said, Lord, don't ever let me forget the pit from which I was dug.
Hey, come on.
So I wrote it, number one, to tell people, no matter how deep of a pit that you may be in, God's love, no matter how dark your pit may be, God's light is deeper still. And to give people hope, maybe for them, or they read it, and it gives them faith, maybe their husband, their wife, their son, their daughter, it gives them faith that God's going to touch my family. And, you know, James, I really believe, I know President Trump uses this term a lot. I really believe spiritually we're in a golden age with what's happening in Bible prophecy, what's happening in Israel, what's happening in our government with President Trump and Vice President Vance. And so the other part of that is I wrote from a junkie, a drug addict full of violence to Jerusalem, sitting with presidents and prime ministers, is to tell people, no matter where you came from, when you give your life to Jesus, the journey that God will take you on will blow your mind. God will do in your life exceedingly abundantly. You know, they got a saying, James, in the streets, once a junkie, always a junkie. But there's a saying in the Word of God, who the Son sets free,
come on,
free indeed. So I wrote that to give everybody hope. You read it, you go, this is the time for me or my loved one to get saved. And then look for a destiny. Yeah, I hope I'm not talking too much.
Oh, no, you're good.
Studying the Jewish roots, it says that the moment before you are born, our soul, our spirit stands before the throne of God, and God gives us a destiny. And it's a destiny. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know the plans I have for you.
Yeah.
This is when Israel was in Babylon, and it looked the darkest for them. this is, I know the plans that I have.
Yes.
They're good. They're wonderful. They're for joy and prosperity. And we want people to know that, that, you know, no matter what you're going through or somebody in your family's going through, God has a destiny. Now, sometimes Satan gets in there and tries to divert it, which he obviously did in my life. God never intended me to be a drug addict or as violent as I was. But once I got back on the path, then, and you and whoever it is gets back on the path, the destiny that God has for us is beyond anything we can imagine.
Absolutely. And Pastor Ray, that's what I love about your book. I mean, the journey from where you came from to where you are is mind-blowing. It's something that only God can do. And I know it's going to encourage people. So take us back, if you will, to the beginning, before you encountered God. And just give us some of the, I would say, highlights, but maybe in your case, the lowlights.
Yeah.
Where you were. Because, man, just as we were talking to him before the interview on what God's doing in your life and ministry and the impact you're having globally, I don't know if people can really appreciate it unless they know where you came from and what God can do.
Well, I was born and raised in inner city, South St. Louis, in the hood. And, you know, we talk a lot in the book about the drug addiction. I went from St. Louis. I ended up in Columbia, South America. I sat in a meeting when Pablo Escobar was first getting the drug, the cocaine thing going from Colombia. I lived in his town. They put me in his town,
wow,
ranch. I rode in only his cabs in the Envigado, a little town right outside of Medellin where he had the Medellin cartel. And so we talk a lot about the drug addiction in that, but a lot of the story also that I didn't talk about a whole lot because I was really ashamed of it was, is James, I was a drug addict, but I was a very violent person. And you know, people around me now and people in our church and in our ministry said, oh, these can't be true. And my family and Tiz go, no, it was true. You know, when I was a kid, and I don't say this bad about my dad, but my dad was an extremely violent guy. I watched him hit my mom a lot, beat us a lot, knock us out, broke my ribs, punched my sister in the face, you know. I looked at that and I'd say, I hate that. I'll never be like that. But I became that very thing. And
wow.
I tell a story that, James, I was actually pastoring. I brought that anger. When I got saved, God delivered me of drugs. Almost instantly, God delivered me of drugs. But I still brought that anger and that violence into my Christianity, into my marriage. And I remember I was pastoring our second church. We were over in Australia. And my son, who's one of my lead pastors here in Dallas, was like 4 years old then, and he did something, and that anger rolls up. And I remember grabbing him, and I shoved him, and he bounced off the wall. And I said these words, I'm just like my dad. And the saying came to me, like father, like son, or like mother, like daughter. And so I said, is there something in the Bible that teaches what's in the father passes on to the son or the daughter or the mother? And I found out it's in there over 325 times. And, you know, without getting in all the teaching, that's why I studied. I realized Jesus shed his blood 7 times. Jesus didn't just die for a sin, but he died on the cross to break curses. And so I learned to break those family curses. But the journey that led me to the Lord, I was living in Colombia, South America. I overdosed one day on drugs. I hit up several times in a row, overdosed. And James, I fell to the floor and I knew I was dying. And
wow.
Cried out and I said, God, help me. And I know this throws Christians a lot of times, but I didn't cry out to God because I was afraid of going to hell. I didn't believe in hell. I'm from the streets. Nothing scares me. I'm smuggling drugs out of Colombia. I cried out to God and I said, God, don't let me die until I find what happiness is.
Wow.
I never found I was never truly happy. You know, there are moments, you know, you try something for a while, and it's kind of an old cliche, but James, you know, it's so true. We'll try all kinds of things.
Yes, sir.
Good things or immoral things or drug things or whatever they are. And it'll be, you know, okay for a while, but then you're still empty. Because no, everybody has a hole in them that only the presence of Christ can fill. And so I was dying. I knew I was dying. And I said, God, don't let me die until I find what happiness is. And wow. I look back, James, and I look from that moment, many steps to God leading me. I got back to the United States. I found out that I'd been selling to a narcotics agent. I found out there were 7 federal warrants out for my arrest. And so when they arrested 48 drug dealers in the area that I was in. A friend of mine's dad was connected to the police, and he said, you're number 2. They're looking for you. And so I tell people I felt led of the Lord to get out of town. And so we ran out to, got in our hippie Volkswagen van and got out to Arizona. And long story short, I was sitting on my porch, long hair, earrings, needle marks up and down my arms, smoking dope. And this young Mexican guy kept walking past me back and forth. And he's looking at me, and I'm just watching him, you know, we're living in the red light district and the drug area. And I'm figuring, well, he's trying to get courage to come up and ask me if I have any drugs for sale. And after he walks past 4 or 5 times, he gets down to the end of the street, and I see him, and I'm just watching him smoking dope. And I see him take a deep breath, and he turns and he just heads straight for me. And he walks up to me and he says something I was not expecting. He said, I couldn't leave until I told you Jesus is who you're looking for.
Wow.
And I said, get out of here. Get, you know. And he said, no. And he'd been a drug addict 5 days before. The church that he went to, Little Bitty Church, was down witnessing in the area down there every Friday and Saturday night, pulled him in the back of a van and led him to the Lord. And 5 days later, he's not a drug addict anymore. And he walks up to me. And, you know, there's a great lesson, James, as a pastor, you know this as well as anybody. Thank God. And I just said this to my church yesterday. And amazing thing, I told you right before we went on, I found out after service when I was sharing this with my church that Vice President Vance was watching the program. And, of course, he can relate. His mom went through so many things, and God pulled him out of that. And he was just so... He was so kind in his text. But I told the church, I said, when people walk in, I said, remember, man may look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And so he brought me to church, and I went because they were showing a movie called The Gospel Road by Johnny Cash and Chris Christopherson. So I said, all right, I'll go with you if you promise not to talk to me about this Jesus junk anymore. And he said, well, I can't promise that. So I went with him. And James, at the end of the movie, it's a corny movie, but it's so precious to me. Johnny Cash is singing, narrating it. Chris Christopherson wrote some of the stuff. And at the end, and I knew nothing about Christianity, nothing about Jesus, nothing about God or being born again. But at the end, it shows Jesus dying on the cross, you know, and the music, and it's very dramatic when he dies. And it touched me. I didn't understand what it was, but it touched me. But then it showed the same movements, the same music, but this time as he died on the cross, it panned out, and the cross was in Times Square around prostitutes and the homeless and all kinds of street people. And then it showed him again, same music, same drama. And he died and panned out. This time it was on the streets of L.A. with gangbangers and drug dealers and stuff. And somehow, I always thought that whatever religion was, it was just for good people. And if there was a God, he would have nothing to do with somebody like me. And somehow I knew... that it was real. I didn't understand it. I didn't know anything about it. And the pastor gave an altar call. It was a church of about 40, 50 people. And I didn't raise my hand. I didn't know, you know. But the next thing I know, and to this day, Pastor, I don't know how I got to the altar because nobody came up. I was with one of the girls I was living with, Donna. And next thing I knew, we were at the altar. Before God, I don't remember. Nobody said anything to us. In fact, when we came to the altar, everybody walked. I didn't have a shirt on. I had earrings hanging down, long hair, beard, needle marks up and down, shoes. I had a poncho on, and everybody walked around us. And they told me later, they said, man, we looked at you and said, somebody like him will never make it. And I can understand that. I was a drug addict, but don't ever limit.
Yeah.
Don't look at your son or your daughter, grandson, oh, God's not dealing with them. When you're praying, God is dealing with them.
And, yes, sir.
I just prayed. Nobody prayed with me. We didn't know how to pray. And I knelt and I said, God, if you're real, be real to me. And James, it felt like 1,000,000 pounds lifted off of my, and like I said, I didn't know about born again or heaven or hell or being saved. I didn't know anything. And I didn't get saved because I was afraid of hell. I got saved because I was sick and tired of living in hell.
Hey.
I'm tired of living this way. And it sounds crazy, but in all that I was doing, I knew there was a drug, but I knew there was a God in the middle of all my drugs, all of my violence, but I never thought about going to church. And you know what? Here's an amazing thing. All these years later, no one has still ever walked up to me in an airport or anywhere and said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? But Bill Trujillo, a little Mexican guy, did. And you know, the sad thing is he died not much long after that. And so every time I get to talk about Jesus, I can see Bill up in heaven getting another jewel in his crown.
And you know, what is so incredible about your story is obviously coming to faith and then pastoring, but years later, realizing that you were still under some of those generational curses. And I know you talk a lot about this in your book, and I want to see if you could just share with us real briefly on how did you end up breaking? You talked about anger and breaking that generational cycle, because so many times I think people come to Christ, you know, we have that experience, but we fall back onto, well, that's just who I am. That's who my dad was. That's in our blood. We almost take pride and ownership of that. But you write in your book that those can be generational curses. So how did you break that and become free?
Well, and not only the drugs, James, but as you said, the anger. And I look back at, you know, my father, and once again, my dad got saved right before he passed away. And so he didn't know the Lord. He was an angry man. My grandfather, who they say I met when I was a little baby, but he was an angry person. And there was an excuse there because they didn't know the Lord, but I knew the Lord. And when I got angry at, you know, when I was, I can look back and there were several times that my anger was so out of control. I almost killed a guy in Colombia, and by the grace of God, something happened and it stopped. And I started looking in the Word of God to find out about why am I like my dad? Why am I like that? And like I said, I found it. I wrote a book years ago. In fact, I just did an interview with Stephen Strang from Charisma, and we were talking. He said, you got to rewrite this book. I did a book years ago called Free at Last, honoring Dr. King, but talking about how to break generational curses, how to break family curses. And a lot of people don't understand, James, that when we say, if I were to say to someone, we're redeemed by the, every Christian would say, by the blood. But then you would say, where did Jesus shed his blood? And most people would say at Calvary, which is partially right. But Jesus shed his blood 7 different times in the garden, at the whipping post, crown of thorns, in his hands, in his feet, et cetera, et cetera. The last place Jesus shed his blood was when he stomped on the devil's forehead and bruised his heel and took the keys of life and death, poverty and prosperity, freedom. He took the keys. And the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. A wound is bleeding on the outside. A transgression is the act that we commit. It's the sin that we commit. A bruise is bleeding on the inside. He bruised for our iniquity. In Hebrew, the word iniquity means what's on the inside of you that causes you to do what you've done. And so when you look at just a moment to explain how exciting it is to study the Jewish roots of our faith.
Yeah.
If you look at the holiest days in Judaism is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement. On Yom Kippur, they would bring two sacrifices to the high priest, two goats or two lambs. They would bring one lamb, lay it on the altar, kill that lamb, and the death of that lamb would take away the sins of Israel. Then the high priest would dip his finger in the blood, go into the Holy of Holies, where the power of God was ready to be released, sprinkle that blood seven times. How many times did Jesus shed his blood? Seven times. So the sins were forgiven. The power of God is ready to come on the people. But then he would go back to the lamb that was sacrificed, dip his finger, his hands in the blood, go to the second goat, the scapegoat, and confess the curses that were on that goat. If that goat went down to the desert and died, then the curses were broken, which allowed the blessings to be released. And I'm giving you, you know, the Reader's Digest version. But you look at Jesus. If all he was going to do was die for our sin, he could have died when they beat him. He could have died carrying the cross up the Via Dolorosa. You know, you look at Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion, and you see, why did Jesus have to get to Calvary? Because cursed is he who hangs on a tree. And, of course, I can't get into the whole teaching because of time. But Jesus didn't just take my sin. He took that curse that was on me that caused me. I'll never be like my dad. I'll never be like this. And we end up being the very thing. A curse without a cause doesn't come. You know, I wrote another book called The Seven Curses That Block the Blessing. And I really believe, Pastor James, that we're living in an age in which God is getting ready to touch the church, touch his people, anoint his people in a way that we've never seen before. Entering in, I really believe, to the latter rain right now. And in order for that to happen, one, we have to receive Christ as our Savior. Two is we got to break those curses so the power of the blood of Jesus can come on us and touch the world in a way that we've been waiting for 2,000 years.
Well, would you take a second and pray for our viewers who maybe they are in a season of life like where you were, or they have family members who they just think maybe they're too far gone. And, you know, just hearing your story of what God can do, literally from drug deals to helping orchestrate world deals and, you know, just the incredible nature of when God writes your story. Would you pray for them today?
Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for all our sin. I want anyone to pray with me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I know I've sinned because we've all sinned. But I know this, you love me so much. You sent Jesus Christ, your son, to pay the price in full for all my sin. And right now I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Now say this with authority, because now you're a child of God. Say this with authority. Satan, get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my spirit. Get out of my body. Get out of my home, my family, my finances, my future. And I declare through the name and the blood of Jesus, every curse on my life is broken right now, and every blessing is received. Not someday, but today. For Father, I know that you forgive me of my sin, but you've also come to give me life and life more abundant today. And I give you praise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, who is the Messiah. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Larry, for that. I know that is helping and blessing people, and we are believing that lives are being changed today.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Oh, wow. What an incredible conversation today with Pastor Larry Huck. His testimony is a powerful reminder that no one is beyond God's redemption and that transformation is possible for anyone who's willing to say yes to Jesus. Now, if today's message spoke to you, well, we would love to stand with you in faith. You can submit your prayer request anytime by texting the word prayer to 717-500-3575. Our team is here to lift you up and believe with you for breakthrough. And if you want to go deeper into Pastor Larry's story and the biblical principles that changed his life, well, we want to bless you with a copy of his book, From Junkie to Jerusalem. So with your gift of just $25 or more towards this ministry, we will send you this incredible book as our way of saying thank you. Now, remember, your support helps us continue to bring life-changing messages of faith, hope, and restoration to people everywhere. Thank you in advance for partnering with us. And until next time, remember that God loves you, he's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform. This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.